Good morning. It is a beautiful day here in New Zealand. My goodness, it's a beautiful cloud up there. In fact, I must take a photo of it while we're doing this. What a splendid, the cloud tells a picture. I don't know what that picture is, but it's certainly a very lovely looking cloud today. Absolutely beautiful, which is a great day ahead. That's the it's the what day is it? Must be the 4th of January, 2022. Who'd believe that? 2022 already. 4th of January, Tuesday. Normally I'd have been out early this morning, but I postponed that till tomorrow. Had a few things to do. People are all over the place at the moment, having a holiday. A well-earned holiday in many respects. A nice break. And this is the last week of the official holidays. Today is the last actual day of the holidays. But it's a slow week. So although tomorrow is theoretically back to work, most places are in a bit of a slowdown for the Christmas season. I don't know about you guys, but there's been a busy Christmas for me. Busy with family. It is a festive time. There's also a time of commitment. Takes a bit of effort, and certainly the kids, whoever the kids are, and any of your families are very excited. And it's a great time to get together. It's a great time to see who you are and be together and hopefully wish your fellow human being good thoughts. If we can retain those good thoughts through the year, all even better. Even better. Anyway, just a quick thing to have a chat about this morning. I really want to get into lots and lots of podcasts. I've been listening to a few. Some are fantastic. Man, I'm a competitive person in some ways, but competing with some of these people is going to be very hard. But I like the competitive nature of it. But it's actually nothing about a competition, just the quality of it. The quality is all about the guest. If you've got a guest or guests who are interesting and you're able to enable them to be that interesting person that they are. And people can be informed and entertained and even certainly informed and invigorated and get them curious. Well, I think you're doing your job. What my job will be, well, I don't really know, but I think it's to facilitate a healthy, robust conversation which poses questions and all that sort of good stuff. And you've got to start off with really realizing that it's all about them. And there's a few podcasts I listen to. Some are conversational. I suppose Joe Rogan is one of those sort of guys. He's a conversational sort of guy. Sits down, has a chat with someone for about 2 hours. And you require a certain amount of knowledge about that, and be very comfortable with those sort of people. And I haven't heard many of his podcasts, but what I have has been quite interesting. And with people I've never heard of, which is even better. Then there are other podcasts out there, the scientific ones, the technical ones, the show business ones, ones that specialize in certain genres. And the people that I guess represent an element of that genre or those genres. So it might be a real nerdy subject, which we all like, I think, nerdy subjects, whatever nerdy subjects are. And you find someone that's really adept at explaining certain elements of that genre because that person's enthusiastically involved with it or collecting it. I mean, here's something that I do enjoy also is talking to collectors. My goodness, these people know so much. In fact, I think I'll do that. I'll talk to some collectors, and I've spoken about this before, and see from them what it's all about their particular interest. Why are they interested? Why do they spend bloody decades hunting down things? And what would happen if they went to a shop one day and everything that they're looking for was sitting there at 50 cents each? It's amazing. And you look at Marvel. Well, these are comics that when I was young, they were around here. I bought some. I read some. Comics were very big when I was young. Now it's collecting of comics and stuff like that. And those comics are now movies. Very, very successful movies, I must add. Very successful. Now, a lot of those movies, because of the computer-generated effects, the CGI images. That's not my favorite type of movie, I must admit, because I like more realistic type sort of movies that are more stunts as opposed to imagery. Oh,
Sorry.
Jesus!
I'm sorry.
Be a bit more careful, mate.
I know. I'm sorry. You all right?
I hope so. You think you got hurt?
Huh?
You think she got hurt?
No, she seemed to jump out of the way, all right.
Okay, all right.
I'm very sorry.
Okay, mate. Come on, Jacob. I better put my mask on.
Yeah, okay.
Come on. You're right, dear? You're right, dear? It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Well, how's that, Lee? There's a guy on a skateboard. And the skateboard kept flying into my little wee dog, which wasn't good. Little dog is okay, but it wasn't good. Come on, Jaeger. I have a little wee doggy with me. He's a little sweetheart. She's a little sweetheart. Little schnauzer, beautiful wee girl. And I take her for walks every day. In Germany, you have to do this, I think, twice a day by law. In New Zealand, it's not a requirement, but it is a necessity that you take your dog for a walk. My little dog there is on a leash. We're walking down. A bloke with his, it's a chap, a person. He's got a guy was with his, was on a skateboard. For some reason, the bloody separated and the skateboard came running towards myself and Jaeger, which is a German hunter. Because I'm hunter. And the skateboard came by itself, speeding down the sidewalk towards my little wee dog. And she jumped out of the way. May have hit her leg, I'm not too sure, because she jumped up. I wasn't happy, as you could hear. He's a youngish sort of chappy, 20s or thereabouts. Bearded, but the dog seemed okay. Mind you, with dogs, it's hard to tell. It's not limping or anything. I wouldn't be happy chappy if she was limping. She seems to be right. But this is a sweet little doggy, and I'm very grateful that. I have this wee dog as a companion. We go walking every day. In fact, this morning I was going out the back to do some water the garden, take the dog, and the dog insisted that we go out to the front, which means, of course, the road or the other areas of our neighborhood, which I am now. So I thought, well, okay, let's do that because of the time of day. Is better. Later on, not too far away, it gets so hot that the footpath is too hot to walk on for a dog. and also it's extremely hot everywhere you walk. And in New Zealand, dogs have been known to be very, very crook, very sick, because it's too hot. Their owners are taking for a walk, or they're out and about, whatever. So having a dog is, well, it's really good. We love these dogs. No, we have one dog, and certainly love this dog. Dog has been a lot of pleasure, a lot of good vibes. He's such a sweet dog, very affectionate, and a great guard dog. Anybody that comes near our home, we hear about it well before they get there. She barks a lot when someone comes, but doesn't bark normally. So this little sweetheart is a great companion. And we often take her, my wife and I, and sometimes kids, to places, to parks or beaches where dogs are allowed, and go for a bit of an exercise. So having a dog is actually, you know, a really good change for your lifestyle, in my case. Not that I didn't go exercising before, it's just that it gives me more of a reason to do things at certain times of day, because it's really good to exercise the dog at the same time you're exercising yourself, doing various things. I often have meandering thoughts like now. When I'm with Jaeger, Jaeger is a sweetheart, and an innocent sweetheart. It's not her fault, just like the skateboarder, Chappy, lost control behind us. Okay. A younger me might have got a bit more angry. But the me that I am is more than willing to make sure that life goes on so long as no one's hurt. And we should be able to get on with things and have a realistic approach to what's happening. So in future, if I hear the skateboarder behind me, in the seconds that I hear it, I will ensure that we're well out of the way. We were out of the way then, but obviously not enough. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. It's very neighbourly around here. I'm in Mount Albert, which is a suburb of Auckland. Go to different places, but this is where I live. So walking around here, and it's about 8:30 in the morning. As I walk around here, you know, there's because it's a holiday, there's signs of life, so to speak, here and there. But it is a very quiet neighborhood at the moment. It's not necessarily that way every day. And I look at my left wrist and I look at the Apple Watch, which I've got. What's I got for Christmas? And I've yet to figure it out. I'm doing certain things with it, but the things that I'm able to do are very, very small, because I actually haven't spent a lot of time on learning how to use the watch. I'll be using this watch mainly for the health aspects of it. And I hope to get fitter and utilize this watch with I think Fitness Plus, I think it's 3 months. Pretty good that. So yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna look at the Pilates and yoga and all that sort of stuff. Been a bit curious about that sort of thing. Looked at it before on YouTube, and some of it looks bloody torturous, excruciatingly painful looking, but nevertheless, you'd be pretty supple once you got used to it. But, checking your heart, your heart rate and ECGs and blood sugars, etc. There's all in the capabilities, apparently, of this Apple Watch. So that's what I want to do. I want to be more familiar with the health aspect. So I want to be able to this year to really stick by a program or a sit down set of what I should be doing to keep to maintain a type of fitness up to the point where I might do a bit more running with Jaeger here. Now I don't know if I'll get a push bike or a bike and have Jaeger running beside me. Jaegers are only, these schnauzers, the miniature schnauzers, they're not that bloody big. They're kind of small, much bigger than a cat, but they're not the tiny little dogs, but they're bigger than poodles. But I think running should be good. So I'm going to work up to that and keep fit. Also, wouldn't mind going out the bush. You know, I like to take the, I don't know how much of a bush bunny dogs like this are. Maybe they are. But I spent many, many, many nights in the bush when I was younger. More than most. But I think I'd like to go for a few little tramps around New Zealand, which is a beautiful place to go. And I've had to be quite careful too. I've had to learn about dogs, like an effort really, because there's always something else to learn. And when I say learn, I mean the things that aren't good for little dogs aren't apparent. I mean, here she is on the grass not far from me. Now, there could be bees or wasps on the grass, which could sting her. Now, these stings to a miniature schnauzer can be very, very dangerous. So what I do is I look ahead of her as I walk near the grass. And incidentally, her feet are very wet because although the sun is shining, the grass still is wet. There's still dew, morning dew, evaporating on the grass. Bees are out. The wasps are out where the wasps are. And you have to be pretty careful of that. Then there are other things that I've learned about these dogs. They're small, but they bloody eat anything. They're like a friggin' vacuum cleaner. So there's everything that attacks them. Even inanimate objects can be swallowed by these little dogs, hoovered up. And if not spat out, they go to their system. And they have to be ejected somehow down the track and tracked. And if not ejected, then they stay in there and they cause problems. So shards of plastic are no good, and various other things that can cut them up. So it really is a case of being very diligent, vigilant, and being that sort of all-seeing eye. Because these little guys here, for some reason, love to hoover up everything. Now, before, it was bad. She'd hoover up every bloody thing, including other dogs' craps. And, I walk with plastic bags, or my plastic bag, and a couple of them. And the thing is with dogs, when they crap everywhere. And they crap on the grass, and the egg is cash. And you pick it up with the plastic bag, put the plastic bag in the bin. If everyone does that, you've got the problem. You've got a clean neighborhood. Obviously, I'm saying this because not everyone does it. Most people do, but not everyone. Because not everyone does that, there are places you go to where there's dog crap. These are quite big dogs sometimes. We hope it's dogs. And these large pieces of crap have dried up. Sort of lying right here everywhere. Just to my right, very quietly, is a Suzuki being driven by a woman with a mask and somebody beside her. And it's a driving school. Oh my God, thank goodness she's driving around here, because I tell you, that car's going all over the bloody place. Well, we all started off once. I remember learning to drive when I must have been 14 or 15, I suppose. That was quite a while ago. When I look back at those times when we were all Yeah, school kids. When we went to college, I remember going to college, what we call college in New Zealand, which is high school. I remember the first day, didn't know anybody. I was out of area. I lived in the city in Wellington, and I went out to college or high school by the airport because that's where I actually lived. So my zone was this place where everyone had gone to the same intermediate school and various other things. Me, didn't know a single guy. That was a boys' school. And we'll talk about that one day. But I do remember so clearly the very first day. You know, there was an air of excitement and, you know, I wouldn't say wonderment, but there was a protocol. A culture, assemblies and various other things, guys dress in certain ways. Young guys, we all wore caps and had little knobs on them. So, you know, you had to get denobbed. People would come along, take these bloody knobs and the caps off and various things. And you're divided into classes. You're divided into houses. The houses were, when you did athletics or physical activities, you wore a singlet. With a stripe, depending on your house, depending on the color of the stripe, and all these various things. And the culture was that there were prefects and there were assemblies every morning. There were teachers, the headmaster was dressed in a cape, much like a Batman sort of costume. And there was a level of seriousness which I hadn't seen before. Where I was comfortable in primary school, I was a fish out of water and loving it. When I went there, surrounded by hundreds of other schoolboys. And they were the normal people, the bullies, the nerds, the nice guys, the weirdos, all that sort of stuff. And it was interesting. Sort of a strange mixture of Pommy or British school culture. And you know, and genuine New Zealand Kiwiness, not so much Kiwiana, but a type of New Zealand attitude. Then there were the teachers. Some were cruel, some were eccentric, some were all sorts of things. And in those days, we had what's called corporal punishment, big one, which was if you did something wrong, you got the cane. Which is a piece of, you know, which is a length of rattan cane, specially grown for the occasion of getting a hiding. Now here's Jagger, there's a wounded bird sitting there and probably thinking that that's it. Hopefully the bird will take off very shortly. But I'm pulling Jagger away from that sort of activity. Whether there's wounded or not, I don't know. Go back shortly, but just take it out of the way. So we had the cane. We had the leather strap, which in many cases looked like a barber's strop, which was a big piece of leather used to sharpen cutthroat razors, etc. So we had the strop, the leather strop, which was a strap. Uh-oh, here comes a bloody driving school person again. I better be careful because I get bloody bowled over by this person who can't drive. Just waiting over here. Now, you probably can't hear. What if that car's electric? You can hardly bloody hear it. These electric cars are bloody dangerous when you're walking. For obvious reasons, you can't hear the buggers. Anyway, we'd have the strap and we'd have the cane, as I said, piece of rattan, imported from India or someplace, grown especially for whacking people. And strangely enough, we had a variety of other seemingly innocent pieces of equipment which were used to punish us. One was the chain on the end of a whistle, which you got when you were going to get a whack from the PE teacher. You'd be wearing basically PE shorts, which were very thin. That's physical education shorts, very, very thin. And the teachers were adept, he said to me, very good at whacking you with this chain. It'll come out quite sharp, quite brutal, and quite painful. So you'd be made to bend over and whack. This bloody chain would come out, whoosh, give you a bloody good tag. Then we had the cricket wicket. Those of you not familiar with cricket, these are three of these things. And they stand on the ground, and a person with a bat stands in front of them and hits the ball. And if he misses and it hits these three wickets, or any one of these three wickets, or the bales on top, those bales are dislodged, then that person's out. So these are made of wood, and we used to get whacked with that. And then we had the old scallop. Yes, strange how the podcasts or conversations gone this way. Scallop was the name of a sand shoe or a set of sneakers that were common. They were white. You had to keep them clean. And they had tread on them. The tread was not too dissimilar to the type of boat shoe or a flat shoe. Scallop was a brand. And you would get the scallop by you'd be wearing these very flimsy, thin, black shorts that were thin as. And what would happen was the PE teacher would give you a whack with this, a sand shoe, what we call a sand shoe, and it would allegedly leave the scallop tread on you, marked on your rump there. I can't remember how the teacher ascertained whether the tread was there or not. For some reason, I can't remember. Maybe it's a good thing I can't remember. But anyway, that was the scale up things. Now, I'm using a earbud to record this podcast. Hopefully, this is coming out okay. And as it would happen, the bloody earbud is working its way out of my ear. So I might, by accident, turn ourselves off. I don't even know if this is recording properly, but hopefully it is. So we'll have a chat about early school days later. Let's get back to talking to people. My goodness, there's some interesting buggers out there, right? Interesting people out there. I think once I get used to it, and, you know, it might be a Zoom call. I don't know what other programs you use, but Zoom or whatever, it might be a Facebook call. I'm going to chat with all sorts of people. Interesting, otherwise. When I say otherwise, surely everyone's going to be interesting. There can't be people that aren't interesting, because isn't it the podcast is, you know, sort of duty, job, or desire and design to, you know, bring that interesting element out of everybody? I find everybody interesting. Oh, yeah. I don't think there's a dullard really that exists. There may be a dullard on the outside. Yeah, this is boring. Yeah, but no. No one's really boring. They've got all aspects of their lives which are, you know, interesting. That's why collecting. Or people who have hobbies or interests. Now, that's an interesting thing, because it brings out the expertise in someone. Brings out knowledge, enthusiasm, but also brings out an area of interest that means that this person knows a lot more than you or I about this particular subject. And man, that subject could be anything. And because we live in a connected world, guaranteed that there's, you know, you're not talking to someone unique. There's got to be a number of people who also follow this interest, who collect certain things. And there is a marketplace where people sell or swap or buy or all three. And that's when Joe Bloggs comes along. In other words, a non-collector says, oh, I can make a bit of a side hustle out of this, selling a few things that these people want. They're not collectors per se. They don't have to pretend that they're collectors, although some might. Jim found out though, what they do is they opportunistically sell things that collectors want. Collectors will pay far more than the intrinsic price of something is apparently worth. Now, we all know that for a fact, an old table may be worth $20, but to a collector who collects certain types of furniture, particularly old furniture, it might be worth, you know, $1,000 or whatever. Watches, it doesn't ever end, So collecting is interesting subject. So I'll definitely do that. And business, yeah, I'll touch on business. Personally, I'm kind of bored with a lot of the business stuff. Oh, yeah, it's all the same. Come on, yeah. I'm not saying it's all the same. I mean, it's, you know, okay, some guy's successful, some lady's successful, some person's successful, whatever. At whatever they do, come on, which is good, and good on them. It's wonderful to hear these stories. I like those stories. But when it comes to business, the element's always the same, eh? Don't give up. Find something that you like and enjoy. If you like something, you never work a day in your life. Those sort of scenarios. Other things are, you know, hire people a bit smarter than you. Find your niche within a niche. Find a hole in the market that no one else is doing, or find a part of the market that a big company's not doing too well because they're complacent, and so on and so on. It's all good stuff, but to me, it's kind of boring. The ones that aren't boring are the ones that I see popping up. So I like looking at some of these TikTok things. It's quite amazing. You know, some guy's got 30 seconds or a minute or whatever. I think it's increased now. You know, you can make money doing this, you know, passive income, affiliate marketing or whatever. You know, it's all interesting stuff. You see people you haven't seen before. They've got a big following in many cases, and businesses are starting to advertise. You see, you've got TikTok, you've got Facebook, very, very heavy into pushing video, which is good. Twitter, interesting. In New Zealand, you know, we're sort of still on that 140 characters, whatever it is. And it's actually quite good because it forces you to be a bit more, you know, abbreviated, so to speak. It's not so good for the waffler unless you have bloody three or four tweets. And you have to be a bit of a celebrity to do that. Then, of course, I've got Instagram, which I'm not that good at. I must get better at this year, if that's the right terminology, Peter. You know, that's image-based, short video-based. You've got all these different things. So you've got Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. You probably have a few other ones. I don't go near Snapchat. I haven't gone there for ages. I mean, maybe it's still relevant. Maybe it's for young people. I have no idea. TikTok, I think, originally was Musical.ly. Anyway. Then you've got this other area called podcasts, which I'm sort of, you know, talking about. Podcasts, there's bloody, must be millions of these podcasts. How do you get your podcast heard or seen? And I think the thing is, you've got to be, you know, reasonably active on those other social media programs that I've mentioned. And say, hey, have a listen to my podcast, or listen to some of it, or listen to all of it on those social media programs. And people say, shit, this guy sounds like a, you know, interesting person, or he's not an interesting, or they're not interesting. If they are interested, they'll follow wherever your podcast is. Now, your podcast will be, you know, it could be on Apple, it could be Spotify, it could be on all these different places. So I'm using, I think, Anchor at the moment, which is good. I don't know much about podcasts. Really, I thought I used it before, but I don't really. And when we look at distribution, we get an old adage, content is king and distribution is queen. So this year, I'm going to knuckle down. In the next few days, I'm going to learn more about my Apple Watch, which is by no means cheap, I can tell you that. It's very expensive. It's a nice looking watch. When I put it together, I think I put the strap around the wrong way. Then I realized that I'd had it in the wrong way, put it back properly, and went on to, this is another thing I haven't mentioned. Also, YouTube, of course, YouTube is definitely a place where you put your podcasts on, and we put various things on. So I'll be doing that with YouTube. YouTube, incidentally, is a great place, as you all know, to find out how to do something. There's always someone far younger than you who knows all of these things. It's really quite amazing. It was said many years ago that people go to YouTube for only two things. One is music, and the other is to learn how to do something. I don't know how much that's changed, but I think ultimately it's basically the same. They've sort of divided the music up a bit into a paid version. Here's an interesting point. A friend of mine, I was chatting to him. He listens to, like I do, Spotify. And like myself, he has libraries of content. And because we love music, there's lots of content. I've got still on the untopped playlist. Half the time I duplicate it because I can't remember what's on it. But I've divided my playlists into genres in some cases, sort of cool stuff, a bit more faster. Mellow stuff, which is kind of like cool stuff, a bit more mellow. So cool could be cool for whatever reason, but mellow is definitely laid back. We get, I could dig it. Then I'm sort of on the verge of, bossa nova type stuff. Without being, I'm not into bossa nova, but then again, I am into bossa nova. I just didn't know that I was. So I don't have a bossa nova section, but I have stuff that is, very bossa nova-y. It might go into cool, might go into mellow, might go into what. So these sort of things. Anyway, he was talking to me about something, and I happen to have some music in the background. And I said, "Oh, listen to that in the background." It was Robert Cray, smoking gun, or the Great Pretender, or whatever it was. Not the Great Pretender, the Great Persuader, or whatever it is. And I said, "Oh, there's Robert Cray in the background." And we said, "Oh, yeah, pretty good." And then I told him it was a record. He said, "A record?" I said, "Yeah." I finally got my old stereo going, and I got some speakers. They weren't going very well. And I got some other speakers. I have a lovely guy. I went to get these other speakers. I said, "No, they're the wrong ones. Try these ones." And they were cheaper. And he said, "Put some banana plugs in." I said, "What's those?" And he actually had some. He gave me some banana plugs. And they made a hell of a difference. So I've got quite a few records. I used to buy and sell records in my day as a collector dealer. I ran one of the country's first sort of collectors sort of thing. Well, you had to sort of to survive. So I had a few records, and I got rid of them of my own, my own records that I'd listened to. And I remember going to these sort of places, and it was highly competitive. When I say collector dealer, you'd swap or sell them or buy stuff. You go to record stores and all this. Anyway, I had this record going, and I said, "Yeah, it's a stereo." He said, "Oh, it sounds great." I said, "Yeah, it sounds really good. I'm sitting by it, pumping it up on quite loud. I'm on volume 2.5 or something. So can't put up too much." These are small speakers I'm talking about, but they're still 8 ohms and 150 watts. I'm using a Luxman 1500 amp from the 70s. A really good amp, made in Japan. These speakers that I've got, I think, I don't know where they're made. Who knows where they're made? I think, oh no, they're Celestians. No, they'll be English. Anyway, it's pumping out really good. And he says, "Oh, gee, I really like the sound of that." Yeah, so the way it's cool. With a record, you've got to pick it up, you've got to place it on the turntable, and you've got to put the depending on how you do it, you've got to put the needle on there with the arm. And once it finishes, you can have it automatically stop and then return the arm returns to the thing, whatever the thing's called. And Bob's your uncle, you take it off and put another record on. I quite like that because it means that you're committing a fair bit of your time in order to hear one track, two tracks, or whole side of an LP. And he said to me something very interesting, that he had lost, was beginning to lose interest in the Spotify list library. And I said, "Yeah, that's right. Same as me. Now here I am listening to Robert Cray. I had a few records. I could have, I've got a few hundred, if not thousands, of records sitting around. I'll pull them out bit by bit." The thing is that the accessibility of Spotify is so fantastic. I'm kind of ruined. I want to hear this, bang, it's there. I want to hear that, bang, it's there. I want to hear that, that, followed by that, 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 that. I can do it. You know, YouTube's a bit different because you can see the videos, in some cases, of these people playing either a live video or a version of someone else's version of that song or whatever. But on Spotify, although you do have videos in some cases, you've got access to this enormous library, and it makes things effortless. And I think that's the key. There's no effort involved. So ironically, my own kids, they buy records. Yeah, and they spend a pretty penny, maybe $40, $50, $60 on a record. It's incredible. It's a new record. It's the same music, just redone. So when you don't have much of something, it becomes desirable. The stuff over the fence of your neighbors is more desirable than your own backyard, whatever it is. It shows you that, like my friend, I don't go to Spotify that much because I know it's always there. And it's great. Don't get me wrong. I really love Spotify. But I can't listen to those playlists of mine for long. You know, unless I've got a particular reason to listen to them. I don't want to listen to them for too long. I know what's coming up next. It doesn't excite me because, like the collector who walks into a shop and everything that he's always wanted sitting on a shelf for 50 cents. It's the fact that it is no longer hard-fought battle or requires an effort. It's just there. And as much as you want, it's like some sort of weird banquet, a sort of musical smorgasbord that never ends. It's open 25 hours a day. You've only got 24. Where the hell did the extra hour come from? We don't know because no one explains it to you. It's just there. I've got 7 days a week. No, you got eight. Well, how do I get eight? Well, no one knows, but it's just that you got 8 days of music, but you only want seven. But there's always more. And it requires nil effort on your part. So there we are, listening to records. How weird. And I enjoyed it. I actually quite enjoyed the little crackle and pop. I probably could get rid of that. You know, I got to find out more about that. I don't want to be a bloody audiophile or audiophile nutter. There's a danger that I could become one, but no, I don't want to be one. I want to play a record, enjoy the warm sounds. And my little doggy, of course, being near the stereo speakers I've got. And also, I've got a quadraphonic speaker. Yes, I've got a Sansui, four-wheel drive. Obviously not four-wheel drive, but I like to call it four-wheel drive. It's a quadraphonic amplifier, sorry. Pretty amazing piece of equipment. And I've taken these both these amps apart. To give them a bit of a clean, because they haven't been used for years. And I looked at it, and mind boggles, man. Crap everywhere. I don't know this piece. I don't know who put these things together, but they must have been bloody expensive. You know, they were expensive in the day. I look at all these things, and I think, wow. A lot different from the amps today. Are they warmer? Well, I think so. Is the music warmer? Yes, for sure, I don't know. I'm not here to bloody judge whether things are older a bit than the things that are new. I'm just saying these lovely warm sounds. The weird thing was in the 80s, I think it was the 80s, maybe early 80s or thereabouts, must be the early 80s. We were virtually promised by advertising, hey, CDs are coming out. I don't know whether it was the late 70s, but certainly the early 80s. Now, these CDs, compact discs, are so cool that you can play them a million times, they don't get scratched. So everyone thought, wow, these bloody CDs were about $30. So what happened was people got rid of their bloody record collections. And then when DVDs came out, they got rid of their bloody VHS bloody tape collections. And hello, some of these CDs were getting bloody scratched. They couldn't be played a million times. They get bloody scratched a buggery. They did, and some of them didn't even play well. Then someone noticed that some of the highs and the lows weren't actually able to be heard by the human ear, maybe aggravated. And so people got a bit bloody pissed off. And I do believe there's some class actions taken, I don't know. And then there was the return to records because of record collecting. And then there was the return to records because they sounded better. And then there was return to records because they were took a bit more effort than pumping 60 CDs into a bloody player and driving along just listening to countless amounts of music. So I think, in many cases, CDs now, you can find a buck a piece. op shops and places like that. They're just sitting there. DVDs also, $1 or $2. And records, well, you might find some good records, you might find some crap. You've got to go hunting for them. So the record collector is even more pronounced nowadays. He's really right into it now. He or she is right into it. Because they're out there, they're worth a lot of money in some cases. So there's a monetary concern now. A monetary element, which means that, you know, people can make a lot of money. Which they can buy more records. Oh, that's a nice little introduction today. I don't know if this is still going. I'll see. Oh, yes, it looks like it's still going. So what we'll do is probably call it quits there. 45 minutes. And wherever you are, I hope you have a wonderful day. And let's get back to more of this podcast. So it's me signing out. Have a wonderful day wherever you are. Take care and good luck with everything.